The darkness is close and still, and absolute. Mia is nearby. I can feel her body heat, a gentle warmth along one side. In the quiet, our ragged breaths are as harsh as a siren's wail. And then Mia shatters the thick, eerie silence.
Screw it! I can't do this in the dark! Jules, turn your watch on, will you?
Despite the fear coursing through me, I find myself smothering a smile as I fumble at my wrist for the LED. A week hiding aboard an occupied alien spaceship, and she's the one thing I can count on to feel familiar, safe, like home. Most of our devices are dead, with no access to the sun to recharge, but my wrist unit charges kinetically, something I'm increasingly grateful for each day. The idea of existing this way in utter darkness is too terrifying to contemplate long. The pale blue light spills out from the watch screen. Mia appears out of the darkness like a ghost, her face framed by her choppy black and pink and blue hair, skin white beneath her freckles. She's got her multi-tool out, and with a wan little smile at me, she goes back to work, trying to pry the bolts off an access cover to the narrow passageway we're in. The glint of the crystalline stone lining the shaft plays tricks on my vision, masquerading as glittering eyes in the gloom. The hinge of the cover gives a tiny creak of protest as she finally succeeds. Easing the cover aside and letting it dangle from one hinge, Mia reveals the opportunity we've been searching for. A chance to get ahead of the undying aliens that came pouring through the portals on this ship a week ago. The passageway we're using is actually a cavity between the walls of the ship. We found these hidden spaces by crawling up into the ventilation system to hide in those first frenzied minutes after the ship took off and the undying emerged from the portals along the long hallway we'd discovered. We wriggled through the vents on knees and elbows, we still do, occasionally, until we found the hatches leading down inside the walls. Thick metal doors are recessed along the hallways at regular intervals, ready to snap shut and seal off any one section in case of a hull breach. The vents have impressive shutter systems, no doubt designed to lock down automatically at the first sign of a change in air pressure. As Mia said when she discovered the first set of auto doors, the Undying are seriously spacefaring. They make the ships we used to reach Gaia look like a kid's toy rocket set. The Undying wasted no time in grid-searching the ship. Hundreds of sets of boots stomping down the hallways, voices echoing over each other, so that the individual words were impossible to make out. They know humans launched the ship. All their traps were designed to make sure we did, after all. What they didn't know was that there were two of us still on board. They would have found Hansen's body in one of the corridors, where we had no choice but to leave him after one of the International Alliance soldiers shot him. Even as they were dragging him away to dispose of him, Mia still had his blood under her fingernails from where she tried to staunch his wounds. I wonder what they made of him, of us, that we killed one another in the middle of an extraordinary discovery like this. So Mia and I hid first in the vents, and then in the walls when we found them, and now, after a week on the run, we know our territory. We even have a home base of sorts. We call it the Junction, a slightly wider spot where six different walls meet in a star-shaped intersection, and there's room to sit, wedged in side by side. We have neighbors on just one side there, a pair of Undying who call each other Atlanta and Dex. And if we hold perfectly still, and they stand in the right place, we can listen in on their conversations and catch a glimpse of them through the vent. And when they're out of their room, on shift, we can talk quietly ourselves, without risk of being overheard. But we've been too busy just surviving to do anything, to hunt for answers, to take action. We haven't been able to figure out how, or why, they've managed to look so much like us, only that they're not us, and the resemblance only goes skin deep. We haven't even been able to figure out what they want with Earth, except that they intend to take it from us. Whatever that means, neither of us particularly likes the sound of it. All we need is a single chance to contact Earth. We may not know why they're here, But if we can warn humanity that the massive ship in orbit isn't empty, as they believe, there's a chance the cavalry will arrive before the Undying discover we're here. Of course, as Mia pointed out, the IA's equally as likely to simply blow the ship out of the sky. But I prefer to hope for the best. To trust that they wouldn't destroy their last chance to discover technology that could save Earth from its rapid decline and dwindling resources.